Ooh, 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 ooh. I can see the clouds roll.
Come on, stand up this morning. Let's sing the praises of Jesus.
I can feel the winds, they try to shake me. I will not be moved.
I'm here on the rock. So stomp your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock. Clap! On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock. When I feel my hopes about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. When I feel my hopes about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. My feet are on the rock. Awesome job this morning, everybody. Welcome to church. Welcome to the Journey of Grace service here at Garner. We are so glad to have you guys here this morning worshiping with us.
Oh,
day you saved my soul. Till the very moment when I come home, I'll sing, I'll dance, and my heart will overflow. Oh, from the day you saved my soul, from the day you saved my soul, till the very moment when I come home, I'll sing, I'll dance, and my heart will overflow. From the day you saved my soul. From the day you saved my soul. Good job this morning. I saw lots of dancing and clapping, singing. It looks so good this morning. I'll have Rick come up, make a quick announcement. Rick, are you here? There he is. Real quick.
All right. Good morning.
Morning.
All right. We can't really see a lot because we have the lights turned down, but have everyone sit down for 1 second. I know I'm asking a lot, but you got an extra hour of sleep. As you can see, my sleeves are still rolled up from the craft fair, but if you are a youth and you helped out in the craft fair, can you stand up, please, for me? I want you to give them a round of applause. What we done yesterday could have not happened if it wasn't for their help. So I want to give them another round of applause one more time.
Yeah.
So they done a great job. We had, I think, over 60 vendors. We raised a lot of money for the youth activities and functions. It was a great day. And as I said, I still have my sleeves rolled up. So turn it over to you, Amanda.
Okay, now I'm going to have to ask you to stand back up. And if you have children who'd like to go to children's church, they are welcome to follow Miss Emily out the door, around to the back of the sanctuary. This is not the CLC. That's the right word. And if not, if they'd like to stay here and worship with us, they are always welcome to do so as well.
Christ who lives within me, from beginning to the end. You deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. You are God. You're the great I am. Breath of the life I breathe you in. Even in the fire, I'm alive in you. You are strong in my brokenness. Sovereign over every step. Even in the fire, I'm alive, yeah. You are God, you're the great I am. Breath of the life I breathe you in. Even in the fire, I'm alive in you. You are strong in my brokenness. Sovereign over every step. Even in the fire, I'm alive, I'm alive in you.
Pray together. Heavenly Father, you are great indeed. You're worthy of all honor and praise that we can give you, God. We thank you for the lives that you've given to us and the life that we can live with you in eternity, Lord, in heaven, just by accepting the gift that your Son, Jesus Christ, has brought to us. By the blood that he shed on the cross. Lord, I thank you for all the members of the congregation that are here today, the ones that can't be, for the pastors and the ministers that are here at Garden United Methodist, really around the world, God. We are truly all one, united in your name. Help us to live the type of life that you wanted us to live, and to just be the people that we can be, to be your hands, your feet, your voice here on earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And we are all our one. Let's greet each other this morning, Christian love.
Morning, I'm Susan Hobbs. I'm retired from serving here at this church, but it was an honor to be asked to come back and be a part of this service. Today is All Saints Day, and most of us who have claimed the name of Jesus Christ have people in our lives that we are here to thank. Some have gone on to be with God in glory, and some are still here among us, but what a way to celebrate God's presence in our lives and in their lives through this litany you have before you, the All Saints Day Litany. Will you join me? We remember the great ancestors of our faith, from Abraham and Sarah to Paul and Phoebe. We remember the prophets and priests, the ministers and teachers who have taught us the way of God. We remember our grandparents and parents, aunts and uncles, those who have gone before us in our lifetime. We lift up the memories of children and grandchildren, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives and parents whose lives ended too soon. We lift up to you, O God, the names of those we have lost in this past year from our lives, knowing that they are with your heart forever. As we read these names, we will pause after every name to remember, pray, and give thanks for their life. Sarah Banks, Tony Cox Jr., Bob Creed, Doris Holmes, Steve Keffer, Oliver Lanham, Arla D. McPherson, Joe Midget, Sherry Midget, Larry Reynolds, Carol Therrington, Barbara Umstead, Laurie Williams, Peggy Williams. We celebrate the lives of those we have named, O God, and lift up many more names in our hearts. We give thanks, O God, for all who have gone on to join you beyond this life. We trust in the hope of resurrection and the promise of new life in Christ. And know that in our grief and celebration, O God, you are with us through it all, and we are not left alone. In the name of Christ, in whom love lives forever, we pray. Amen.
Our reading today comes from Revelation chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. After this I looked, and there was before me a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing there before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where do they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So today we are celebrating All Saints' Day. This celebration actually has its origins all the way back to the second century. The earliest Christians would commemorate the day that a local martyr gave up his or her life for their faithfulness to Jesus Christ. By the 8th century, November 1 was set aside as the day to honor those Christians who had lived and died heroically in Christ. Now, when we hear the word saint, there are images that come to mind. We often use this term to describe people that we would say are kind of in the Christian Hall of Fame. We might think of St. Paul or St. Peter. More recently, we might acknowledge somebody like Mother Teresa. However, the Bible has a very, very simple definition of what and who a saint is. So let's see what the Bible has to say about this. There in your introduction, the word saint refers to anyone who is a Christ follower. Anyone who is a Christ follower. You remember we looked at this summer. We spent the summer studying in the letter to the Philippians. And what we saw was that when Paul opened that letter, he opens with a greeting. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. So clearly, this word is meant to address all of the church members, not just the leaders, not just the superstars. The word saint comes from the word holy. And all it means, very, very simple, it means set apart. If you are a believer, you are a saint because you are set apart for the purposes of God. Now, in all of Paul's writings in the New Testament, how often does he refer to believers as Christians? Anybody want to make a guess? Zero times. But over and over again, he addresses believers by calling them saints. In fact, if Paul were to write a letter to us today, it would probably start by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, to all the saints at Garner United Methodist Church. Now, All Saints Day, number one in your notes, is a celebration of the victory the faithful who have died in Christ have won. Now, we get a glimpse of this in the passage that we read just a few moments ago. Let's unpack this celebration. Letter A, this is a celebration of Christians who were willing to live their lives completely for Jesus Christ. Over the course of church history, we might think of people like St. Paul, St. Augustine, maybe John Wesley. These are people whose lives were lived in such a way that they're actually continuing to impact the church and thus our lives even today. We also think about those whose stories of courage inspire us and convict us and challenge us. Anybody here ever heard of Jim and Elizabeth Elliot? Have you ever heard of Jim and Elizabeth Elliot? Okay, Jim and Elizabeth Elliot were missionaries. And when I was coming along in college at InterVarsity, they were a really big deal. They were missionaries to Ecuador. They, along with four other couples, were seeking to evangelize an unreached people group there in Ecuador. This tribe had never had contact with the outside world. Jim and the men began to do things to try to develop some rapport and some contact with this tribe. They began to leave gifts for them, and they began to establish this type of, okay, we kind of know who each other are. On January 8th, 1956, Jim and four men sought to finally make direct contact with this tribe. And they were slaughtered. All five of them were slaughtered. They were speared to death. Well, you would think that that would be the end of the story. But Elizabeth and the other wives stayed there, and they continued to reach out to this tribe that had murdered their husbands until they were able to make contact. They were welcomed to move into the community, and eventually they converted this tribe to faith in Jesus Christ. Jim Elliot was martyred as a young man, but his wife stayed there and finished the job. The quote that inspired me and continues to inspire me that's attributed to Jim Elliot, he said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot gain, or he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." those words can continue to inspire. And that story of courage, and there was a movie a few years ago called The Tip of the Spear. You should watch that. Continues to inspire Christians to live faithfully. But All Saints Day, letter B, is also a day of celebration of unsung saints. Those who, by their just ordinary lives, touched our lives. Those such as the names that Susan shared just a few moments ago that inspired us, and their presence in our lives made a difference. We all have those people that we could name, those people that we remember. I remember my great Aunt Minnie. She's been dead for over a quarter of a century now. But she was my dad's aunt. She married later in life. She never had any children of her own, and my dad became absolutely the apple of her eye. When my sister and I came along, we were very, very special to Aunt Minnie as well. Well, one of the joys of Aunt Minnie's life, one of the highlights almost, is that she picked out my mom and my dad for each other. And she was integral in getting them together. So it was just a thrill for her to know that she had chosen the wife for the apple of her eye. She wanted to continue that tradition in the next generation. Yeah, she wanted to pick a wife for all of the Jinx men. And so at age 24, she picked somebody out for me. Now, you have to just understand, when you're 24 years old and your wife begins to get involved in your great aunt begins to get involved in your social life in order to pick out a wife for you, things are not going very well. Particularly when you respond and say, "Why, yes, Aunt Minnie, you can set me up on a blind date." And she did. And then I thought to myself, there's no way this is going to go good. I mean, there's just no way. What am I doing? My elderly great aunt is now running my dating life. This is not going to end well. So with absolutely no hopes at all, I went to pick up this woman for the blind date, and I have got to tell you, I was shocked. She was pretty. She was smart. She loved the Lord. And I thought, Aunt Minnie, we might be onto something here. But if one of the great joys of my aunt's life was picking out my dad's wife, one of her great disappointments was when I stopped dating this young woman. Aunt Minnie knew I'd made a mistake. So she wasn't willing to give up that vision. She would occasionally see this woman, and she would bring messages back to me. She'd say, "Greg, Debbie sure would like for you to stop by and see her. Debbie was asking about you. Debbie said for you to stop by." Well, about a year later, Debbie has moved on. In fact, Debbie is engaged. I have moved on. Things are really looking up in my life. I have started dating Beth. Well, we're at a family reunion. And Aunt Minnie still has not given up the vision. She hasn't. She sits next to me on the couch, and she has to whisper to me because Beth's in the same room. And she begins to whisper to me that she doesn't think it's over. She begins to whisper to me, "You know, it's not too late. If you'll start talking to Debbie, I believe she'll break off this engagement." So I'm looking at Beth, and I'm listening to Aunt Minnie, and Aunt Minnie is convinced that Debbie and I should still live happily ever after. My Aunt Minnie was quirky, and she was nosy, and she sometimes inserted herself where she shouldn't. I shouldn't tell this story. You want me to tell this one about Aunt Minnie? I wasn't going to tell this. This is really bad. She was so quirky, in fact, that she had some friends she would visit with, but she didn't want to use their toilet. So if she ever needed to go to the toilet while she was there, she would make an excuse, like she had to go out to her car or something, and she would go out behind a tree. But wait, it's worse. That's what she was doing the moment that Jesus came to take her home. So Aunt Minnie was quirky. And Aunt Minnie would insert herself into places she shouldn't, but I should have never told that. She's going to get me. She was the first person to ever see that God had placed a call upon my life for ministry. From the time I was a teenager, she began becoming my cheerleader and letting me know that she knew that God had called me to be a pastor. And I knew she was right. I didn't acknowledge that at first, but I knew she was right. And when I finally acknowledged publicly that God had called me into ministry, there was nobody happier than my Saint Minnie. And I celebrate the way she cheered me on in my faith. So we celebrate the heroes, we celebrate the unsung heroes, and letter C, we celebrate the role models who show us that living faithfully for Jesus is possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 11, the author gives us this list of Old Testament heroes who live completely sold out to God. Then he writes in Hebrews 12:1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." The picture there is that we are on a track in this great stadium. And in the stands around us are those countless saints who have gone before us and are cheering us on. I look up into the stands and my dad is there cheering me on. I look up into the stands, my grandmother is there cheering me on. I look up in the stands and my Aunt Minnie, who has finally gotten over the fact that I married Beth, is cheering me on. And we look in the stands and we see those names that were read before us today cheering us on as we pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, All Saints is a celebration that because Jesus died and rose again, that we are still connected with those loved ones who have died and are now with Jesus. In the 1990s, we had a United Methodist pastor named Foster Reynolds, who was serving at Salter Path United Methodist Church in Carteret County down at the coast. He had been there for many, many years. He was a fixture in that community. On Easter Sunday evening, they had worship. Foster was preaching. As he was preaching about the resurrection and the victory over death that we have through Christ, he started to talk about all those believers in the Lord from that little church that had gone on to be with Jesus. He started to call them out by name. Uncle Joe, Aunt Susie, Tom and Mary, Miss Laura and Mr. Jim. And he spoke this litany of names, and everybody in that little congregation was nodding their heads in agreement. And then he said something that was a little bit strange. A friend of mine actually saw this service. It was videotaped, and a friend of mine actually saw it. He said, "I feel like they are right here with us this Easter Sunday." And then he said, "I feel heaven bending so low." And at that very moment, Foster Reynolds died. You couldn't see it from the camera angle, and he was a big man. But those in the choir behind him said that he didn't hit the ground hard. They said instead it was like someone unseen held the pastor and just gently laid him on the floor behind the pulpit. Somehow at that moment, He had the sense that the distance isn't nearly as great as sometimes we think it is. So number three, the Apostles' Creed reminds us that we believe in the communion of saints. That means we are still one family with all Christian believers who have died and are now in the presence of Jesus Christ. We're one family, and when we come to Holy Communion in a few moments, we're not just connecting with God and with our brothers and sisters in this room. In some mysterious way, we are also connected with our family of believers that are in heaven. Letter A, we are bound together with the saints in heaven. Here's why. Because we are all in the presence of God. They see God face to face, right? But when we come to worship, although we don't see God face to face, are we not in the same presence of the very same Father? They see face to face, but nevertheless, we also are in the presence of God. We are all in the presence of God. Letter B, the Lord's Supper is a foretaste of the reunion we look forward to and the joys in heaven. Think about this for just a moment. What is the centerpiece of any family reunion? Come on, you got to do better than that. Food, right? It's a feast. And it's a pretty amazing feast. We know what these reunions are like. There are hugs. There is laughter. There are old stories that are retold for the 100th time, and every time they're retold, you laugh just like it was the first time you heard it. And there's more food than you can possibly eat. Well, the Bible tells us that at our great reunion in heaven, it's going to be something like that. There will be a banquet beyond anything we have ever experienced here on earth. The Revelation speaks of this great banquet that Christ has prepared for the church for that moment when He consummates history. And that moment when we're reunited in heaven with Him. This is what it says it will look like. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him the glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and His bride, the church, has made herself ready." So as we come to the table, we remember those saints who have gone before, and we cling to that same hope of the resurrection. We look forward to that moment when we can say along with St. Paul, and with these saints who have gone before us, that I too have fought the good fight. I too have finished the race. I too have kept the faith. And we thank God for those who have gone before us, who have done just that, and for the legacy that they have left us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We do come this day rejoicing that we have an invitation to come to the table. This table of grace is, as Greg said, a foretaste of what is to come. And as we celebrate those who are now feasting at Christ's table in heaven, we come celebrating their memory, their joys, the love that they have shared for each one of us, their teachings. But we also come with a challenge of knowing that we too are to be witnesses so that others behind us, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors, may know of the love of Christ. So hear now this great thanksgiving as we come this day to a table of grace. We come giving thanks to God for the invitation that He offers each one of us. And as we come, we know that it is a right and good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. We come, O God, knowing that You have given us the awesome response of people of Abraham and Sarah, Miriam and Moses, Joshua and Deborah, Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children to all generations. We come giving thanks with the entire company of heaven. Think about that for a minute. As we sit here at Garney United Methodist Church, we are joined with the entire company of heaven, giving praise and thanksgiving to God. Holy are You, God, and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave His life for us, He took bread, and He gave thanks to God, and He gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Likewise, when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, and He gave thanks to God, and He gave it to His disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is My blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it." And so, in remembrance of these, Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we gathered here this day, proclaim that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Will you join me in prayer? Pour out Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. Renew, O God, our communion with all Your saints, especially those who we named earlier before You. Remind us, O God, that since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that You can strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I invite those that are assisting with communion to please come forward.